Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center, Fort Irwin, California. My name is Captain Seth Rivetta, and I will be hosting this podcast today. The Gauntlet brings you best practices from the Army's experts in combined arms operations. Today, I am pleased to have members of the Gold Miner team here to discuss dispersed operations within the Brigade Support Area, or BSA. Let us begin by going around the table and introducing ourselves to the audience. Ma'am.
Hello, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Octavia Davis, Gold Miner 07, the Senior Sustainment Trainer.
I'm Major Boyce Newton, Gold Miner 02, the BSB XO Trainer.
I am Major Sarah Barron, Gold Miner 05, the Support Operations Officer Training.
Hello, I am Major Slayton, Wagoneer 05, the DSSB SPO Trainer.
All right, ma'am, so we'll start off with asking, why is dispersion so important?
Okay, so historically, the BSA has operated in a consolidated manner. You'll see the 1x3 BSA. But however, as we transition to LISCO, the likelihood of the enemy forces to use mass long-range fires and weapons of mass destruction, it increases. Therefore, to survive and operate against the mass long-range fires in contaminated environments, commanders ensure as much dispersion as tactically prudent in order to ensure survivability.
Sir, Gold Miner 02, what are some of the challenges that the staff could potentially be experiencing when we move over to this dispersed BSA?
If you frame the problem and you look at it in terms of protection, mission command, and intel, really are the big ones the primary staff are going to have to look at. And that's because as we spread out and grow the BSA, we're going to have issues being able to interlock and communicate across all the various commodities and all the companies that have to operate within the footprint, both organic to the BSB proper in the base companies and the organic units in the FSCs, plus any other tenants that might be on the BSA. So if we look at it from protection, we've got protection from direct fire threats, which dispersion is going to allow us to have, you know, a larger total perimeter, but we have the same number of weapon systems for direct fire engagement, same number of machine guns, same number of Mark 19, so on and so forth, that now have to cover a much larger area. Much more deliberate planning and a harder problem set to really ensure that we're doing that in an effective manner. Where we see a huge benefit is in protection against indirect fire, to include seaburn type threats. Main benefit being the blast radius is only so large for an individual round. The wider we spread out, the less likely it is we're going to propagate an attack across multiple fuel trucks, for example. When it comes to the dispersion itself, you know, in essence, really, it's a trade-off. It's your ability to secure yourself against direct fire threats in order to achieve that survivability, but also to defend yourself against indirect fire threats and those related dangers, which leads us to that mission command consideration. So in a dispersed environment, mission command is going to present issues with communications. We already see BSBs writ large struggle heavily with communication, even in a consolidated footprint. And as we spread out, that adds to that problem set. Things like the fact that we don't have retrans capability organic to a BSB, and it's a limited asset across a BCT in general. So it's not going to be cut sliced over to us. We have to find creative solutions on how to be able to communicate across a larger area and be able to actually maintain synchronization, not only internal to the BSB, but to the BCT and above and beyond into our higher headquarters, which I'm sure our SPO trainers have a ton of information to discuss on that. But also, units understanding how to effectively utilize the communication systems they do have. We have HF radios in the BSB, but we see people struggle with how to employ those and be able to talk longer beyond line of sight. We have our FM comms, JBCPs, upper TI systems, whether that be a TCN or a CPN, depending on how modernized the organization is. And then we also see people struggle with using their VSATs and integrating and interlocking their KCs to be able to actually extend out my ability to communicate in that footprint. So really, the important part for us is just to ensure that our comm systems work and that we rehearse it and practice it. Once we have that piece cracked, it really helps a lot of the other topics we're going to discuss today fall into place. And then the last part, really, with intel, if we look at the increased challenges of finding not only just one consolidated place to put all my things, but I have to have multiple nodes now, you know, 3, 4, however many nodes are planned for. I have to find terrain that works not only for the survivability aspect, being able to hide in plain sight and or use terrain to my advantage for defense, but I also have the problem set of trafficability. Sustainment organizations have large, heavy trucks. Our fleet is wheeled. Wheeled vehicles don't tend to do as well off-road as a tracked vehicle because of ground pressure. It's kind of a simple physics problem there, but I have to pick terrain that I can occupy. I have to pick terrain that I can be resupplied at. So even larger trucks that are coming in from an echelon above brigade entity to resupply me have to also be able to get into my footprint, which tends to anchor us toward road networks. And it becomes a big challenge as we look at that from an intel perspective. So assessing and deconflicting that terrain is critical. And really the last problem with that terrain deconfliction, looking at it beyond the simple intel picture, is there's a lot of things that live in the rear area, which is where the BSA is going to be. I've got considerations for the artillery that might be there. Where are the PAAs going to be? I don't want to set up in a PAA. That's just a terrible idea, especially one that's been active. And so I've got to look at that. I've got the Brigade Engineer Battalion. I've got potentially even division level enablers that are occupying within the BCT rear because they're supporting the brigade in some way, shape, or form, or supporting a division objective and need our space within the brigade AO to do it. And so you've got to look at that from the terrain confliction. As you do that, the options get smaller and smaller and smaller, and it becomes an even harder challenge for site selection.
Would either the SPO trainer or the DSSB trainer like to add on to that?
Well, yeah, one of the things that 02 mentioned was the challenges with communicating higher. So both with their brigade and maintaining that synchronization within the sustainment enterprise across the brigade, as well as with the echelons above brigade. So one of the things that we've been seeing is that brigades tend to operate on upper TI. That's where they send all their products out, and that's where they want to receive their information. But as we start dispersing, usually the battalions only get enough to really manage one node with upper TI. So if we're now splitting the support operations cell off from the BSB main TAC, then they're starting to lose some of that communication platform and their ability to continue to synchronize with brigade. Additionally, it becomes much more challenging because as much as brigades operate on upper TI, divisions are absolutely on upper TI. And trying to maintain their communications, both with sending up their log stats, attending log syncs, and then maintaining communication with either the CSSB or the DSSB, who's bringing them their commodities, to let them know, make sure we're coming at this time to do a final validation of commodities that are coming, it becomes very, very challenging unless those echelons above brigade entities have also set up a VSAT or a JVCP or some other method of communication that the SPO will also have.
One of the problem sets that as a DSSB will encounter is how integrated they are in the plan. For the DSSB, they're the division asset that is supporting multiple BCTs, or depending on if it's area support versus direct support, they also may have adjacent units in the theater. So how integrated is the DSSB in the planning process at Echelon to ensure that the sustainment enterprise is providing operational reach and endurance to the warfighter to complete their mission, especially during convergence in the LISCO environment? So how aggressive and in what ways? We've talked about comms, but sometimes using technology may not be the answer because there is an enemy threat. So are we have the right person in place as to serve as a liaison in order to provide that up-to-date information to adjacent units and up and down that understands the operation and the capabilities of what the DSSB can provide? And at the same time, are we anticipating what shortfalls may be in planning at the BCT level in order to provide the commanders with the best case scenario and to mitigate any shortfalls?
I guess I'm going to open it up to the table now. So what are some of the best sustainment considerations that you guys would like to have the units thinking about before they come to the National Training Center?
So one of the things is when we're looking at the principles of sustainment is your responsiveness in a dispersed BSA is going to, by nature of being separated, go down. It's going to take you more time to be able to gather any sort of commodities in order to respond to a changing requirement. So in order to mitigate that, like WAG-05 was saying, we're going to have to be much more anticipatory to ensure that we have looked around to see, can we plan for these operational requirements? So that it involves how we're creating our nodes. What is going into the composition of the nodes? Are we splitting our commodities in order to protect them? Or are we just placing Alpha Company in one node, Bravo Company in another node, where we are somewhat creating dispersion, but we are still putting all of our commodities in a place where if the enemy does in fact find and target Alpha Company, we have still lost all of our fuel at this point. And then the challenges that go along with if we are splitting commodities amongst the nodes, now, how are we going to continue to maintain our commodity tracking? How is that Alpha Company commander going to continue to maintain command and control over their organization? And how are we going to synchronize both with the BSB staff and headquarters, as well as with the SPO, be integrated with the overall brigade sustainment architecture?
I'll pile on with a consideration, and we even saw this in the consolidated BSA. If you're responsible for a section of the perimeter, or in the case of a base cluster, a larger portion of the area to deny the enemy's ability to access into the nucleus that is the BSA, when commodities leave, generally speaking, protection assets leave with them. And so I now have left an area exposed. So you have to consider as part of your area defense considerations for integration there, how do I backfill when a large portion of my perimeter or one of my nodes all but vacates? It's particularly critical, you know, whatever node houses, let's say the role two, the Charlie Med, they organically don't have heavy hitting firepower. Just by nature of changes to the force design where they'll be authorized 249s, that's still only a 5.56 weapon system. It doesn't pack much of a punch. And so when I leave and I leave that exposed, what do I do to defend it? How do I backfill it? Like a liquid flows, how do I close it back up to ensure that I can defend myself and not have the entire BSA taken out?
From the DSB, one of the challenges that we see multiple is the ability to improvise. As requirements change and the priority support forward and rear changes and missions change, how well can the DSB improvise? Do they have the battle drills necessary to contend with the changing environment based upon the enemy threat, nature, whatever the issue may be? We talk about the integration, but do we have the plans established for triggers in order to improvise what missions? Because at a time, we could go to the BSA, but because of momentum, we may switch into another BCT. How well can we have those plans? And is the communication in place in order to make that communication between? Because things change. How a unit plans their battle drills and incorporates their SOP into planning with running estimates will allow the commander and the battalion to accomplish the mission.
So as we are transitioning to a more dispersed BSA, how are we seeing the field trains command posts integrated into that dispersion?
That's another challenge that definitely has to be accomplished, both from a protection aspect as well as from a sustainment aspect. Because as 02 alluded to earlier, if we put all of the FTCPs in a single node, then it's either going to be so large that you are now losing that survivability aspect that we have tried to gain through dispersion, or if we are splitting them into separate nodes, now you're just increasing the complexity for coordinating and integrating the sustainment enterprise. So one of the things that we've seen that has been beneficial is a deliberate split based on when we anticipate the FSCs doing their log packs in order to try to make sure that we are not leaving a node completely clear at any particular time, or if we try to split to make sure that you have a balance of the FSCs that tend to go out to do log packs versus like our Echo FSC supporting our engineers. If they are slightly more consolidated, they don't do as many missions, they would then be able to stay in order to provide some of that protection. Again, that does increase the complexity for the SPO to determine not only when are we having the log syncs, but where are we having them in order to make sure that we have all of the necessary assets to synchronize our overall sustainment. That also then leads into where are we receiving our division log pack? Because if we have now split the FSCs amongst multiple nodes, as well as our alpha company commodities, we need to have a central location that our division log pack can come to, also bringing in all of those commodities in order to receive that log pack. That also leads into how are we communicating with the DSSB, CSSB as they're coming in to make sure that if we are moving this location every day, so that way we don't create a pattern, that everybody knows where they're going, or are we simply having a link up point that we will send a small security team from the BSB out to link up with the CSSB on the road and then lead them to wherever today's link up point may be in order to make sure that we are maintaining communication and we are not losing time due to moving our link up point without being able to coordinate that with the DSSB.
Right. And so that lends itself back to the principles of mission command and one of those being able to communicate. We reliably have two systems that we can use to communicate both with the DSSB while they're on the road and also internal to ourselves between the BSB and the FTCPs where the FSCs reside. And really that comes down to satellite comms in the form of JBCPs, which are a problem set in and of themselves to maintain and have functional. And then also FM comms, which goes back to an earlier point of we don't have retrans. Really, we have the ability to make our own retrans. It's only a matter of a cable or two to take a dual radio system and make it into a retrans. And we've seen some layers of creativity with units being able to do it. That just poses the follow-on problem set of how do I man said retrans? BSBs have a very slim S6 shop, usually aren't even fully manned to begin with. And so coming out of hide with a 25 series to man my retrans is not usually an option. So heavy cross-training, it's a good TTP. Being able to man and secure a retrans that I can now talk across a larger dispersed node and help the SPO be able to reach out and touch someone when they need to so that they can actually coordinate and synchronize sustainment without relying on runners every hour on the hour to come running up to the SPO shop to talk to them.
All right. Sir, I think that gives us a great transition. So we've discussed how communications across the dispersed BSA is, in fact, a friction point. What are some of the other friction points that we've started to see, and how do we combat those?
One of the friction points we've seen is that, as talking about splitting the Alpha company up, is we're starting to lose leadership at each one of the node locations. That means that junior leaders have to become much more involved and much more willing to take some disciplined initiative and not always wait for direction from higher. This is as simple as having a squad leader just go out and say, hey, we need to go figure out what all of our on-hand fuel commodities are. So go take it, do a physical check, not a paper check, of how much fuel we have on hand. We need to report that up. Or a platoon sergeant look at their watch and say, we know we expect the DSSB to be arriving within the next hour to 2 hours. I need to be making sure that we are starting to break down operations, that we're getting ready to go out to the link up spot, that we are able to receive the commodities. And then communicating that, reaching out to the command rather than always waiting for command to reach to them. This also moves up to the FSCs being willing to reach out to their battalions rather than waiting to receive information from them, and finding creative solutions in the event that FMs or JVCP isn't working. Usually there is at least one functional printer in the either the SPO shop or in the BSB talk. So printing out the log sync matrix is a perfectly valid way of distributing that amongst the brigade, printing out the log cop and distributing it at the brigade maintenance meeting are all methods of overcoming some of these communication struggles. As much as we want to receive log stats back via JVCP, writing it down on an MRE box and sending it back with the log pack is just as valid because we still get the information where it needs to go.
One of the challenges, especially at NTCs, 80% of the DSSB/CSSBs that come to NTC are reserve components, and how they are tied into the BCT, even in the contested environment. The DSSB that's there may not go with that BCT. And majority of the reserve component, they do not have the comms necessary to integrate into the BCT's comm system. So they really rely on LNO. But one of the downfalls with the LNOs is, are they choosing the right person? I understand that there is always a personnel shortage, but in order to have an LNO, that LNO speaks on behalf of the battalion commander at the BCT to serve as an LNO. Does that LNO understand the conditions, the capabilities of the battalion, and do they have a decision-making process in order to make decisions on behalf of the battalion commander? The person that you choose for that, it has to be one of the best soldiers, not rank dependent, but they have to have a good understanding of how the sustainment enterprise is working and then being aggressive and getting information and understanding that if an LNO is there, they're there to support their supported battalion but not as a staff officer to be used to help them plan on behalf of their organic unit. And then the more that they work those through, the better will be a clear understanding of when they show how those operations are going to present itself so that it can be more efficient and utilizing one of the principles of sustainment, economy of force, and simplicity to the mission as much as possible. And if you can utilize those and have an open dialogue and communication through multiple means using a PACE plan, that should better help the operation.
Also, a challenge is land management. Something for consideration. Gone are the days of the BSA in a consolidated area, like I mentioned before, the 1x3 or 1x5, right? So it's identifying the best possible locations for your nodes that really adhere to sustainment and provide you the best possible way to be functional and also survivable as well. Additionally, providing you that ability to be able to communicate with your adjacent nodes, identifying who that mission commander is at that node, and then the best location for that node to establish in order to best support the brigade.
Excellent. Doctrine is a wonderful starting point for anyone to build their SOPs. What's some doctrine that the sustainer should be looking at?
Would always encourage folks to look to our core doctrines. So FM40, core sustainment doctrine, also 3-96, which focuses on the brigade combat team. And then FM30 being really the most recent foundational doctrine that's been released. The downside being that it is still emerging for dispersed footprints. So the totality in any of those pieces of doctrine is maybe about a paragraph worth of information that says you can either be consolidated or not consolidated. And if you're not consolidated, here's a little picture of an idea of what a base cluster looks like. We'd encourage people to look also into call, look at any of the stuff that's been published over the years. You dig far enough back, we start seeing monographs written on base clusters out of the CGSC. And then in addition to that, ATP 3-37.10 talks about base camps. And then really lastly, we look at the Dirt Logistician, which is the Gold Miner hosted podcast. We'll continue to be discussing on dispersion and how to survive in a LISCO environment going forward.
And the last question I would like to ask before I just open it up for any final thoughts. What are some of the best practices that you would recommend to units coming to the National Training Center, either during their training glide path or while out in the box?
First, I would recommend that units operationalize everything that they do. So, for example, for Motor Pool Mondays, pull out your communication equipment and conduct a COMEX. Conduct some tactical convoy operations, some log packs to and from the SSA to just really establish those systems in place, adhere to your SOPs, and refine whatever SOPs that you have before you go out or you deploy to the field for your FTX.
The main thing I would say is to practice the method of sustainment that you plan to execute at NTC. So if the concept of support is planned to have the FTCPs integrated into the BSB, then with an 80% at the FTCP and 20% forward at the CTCPs, practice that during the train up. Because one of the main things that we see is issues with understanding how the FTCPs are going to integrate, and then challenges as they are actually executing their sustainment over distance. Because most of the time, units do not have the ability to train with the distances that we have here. And the sustainment infrastructure starts to struggle as soon as they come out. This involves, as 07 said, the communications to understand how is the FSC talking to the SPO, as well as how is the FSC talking to their supported battalion. But the more that they practice that, the full amount of the sustainment enterprise, the better off they're going to be when they get here.
I would recommend how you train up for your time at NTC to actually use that when you get here. Validate your SOPs based upon your planning. More than once, the units, they'll do their training, but when they come here, they'll go against what they have planned, what their soldiers have trained for the past 180 days or so. So to validate your SOPs so that the information in the training that you did does not get lost when you leave NTC.
Just keeping in the theme of train as you fight, utilize your commodity shops, your specialty shops, and operationalize those as well. Just because I have an NGATS and it sits in the motor pool, don't gut the NGATS and bring all the stuff inside. Operate out of your containers. Use your equipment. Exercise it. We find a lot of people don't use their stuff, and then they wonder why it is broken when it comes time to use it. Things deteriorate. Seals will dry out if you don't start a vehicle, and now you have leaks, and those leaks lead to bigger problems. And so if we're exercising our systems regularly and we're using our things to their full extent, we'll actually see a healthier organization across the board.
I would like to thank the Goldminer team for taking this time to discuss this critical topic with our audience. Thank you so much. As always, our Observer Coach trainers are here to assist units. I invite you to look at our Meal Suite page for the latest products from Operations Group and subscribe to Operations Group Tech Talks on YouTube for short lessons learned on successful techniques. Additionally, please check out the Dirt Logistician, fantastic backlog of information that you can reference there. Thank you for listening to Thinking Inside the Box, the Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center.